Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Hemi Syed of 30 Masjids. It is day, the morning after Fajr of the Laylatul Qadr, which might have been, that was the 23rd. It is now day 24 of Ramadan 2016. I am in a vehicle being driven by Brother
Sayyid Hussein.
Sayyid Hussein, and we have been praying at the Kuba Masjid in central Edmonton, and now he is showing me a few locations of Muslim interest, and he was just sharing with me some of the history of the Muslims in Edmonton, beginning with Sheikh Hussein, who was instrumental in a number of initiatives through the history of Edmonton. And tell us a little bit about Sheikh Hussein.
So Sheikh Hussein was has been active in Edmonton since the 70s. He had played an instrumental role in propagating Islam in this community. And in the 80s, there was a huge influx of, late 80s was a huge influx of Somalian refugees and Somalian people migrating to Edmonton. And then at that time, they didn't have a place that was of you know, there was a lot of places for them to hang out, but not a religious place in this part of town, and they had settled in here. So
in the central
part of Edmonton. And Sheikh Hussein was doing work of dawah in this area with some scholars who were traveling with him. He was out for Jola, and at that time one of the scholars had suggested to him, you know, this is like you're trying to clean something by just pouring a little bottle of water kind of thing. You need to establish a masjid here, and that will help you bring people back into the fold of Islam. Mm-hmm. So Sheikh Hussein at that time went out, and he had leased a space in a coat factory. Yeah, so it was a small little space, and they started praying. I think there was only maybe three people who prayed when they first leased the factory. And then
what year might have
that
been
would have
about?
Been about 80
early
87 80? 85 87 something
okay.
around there. I might be mistaken on the date. Mm-hmm. Then from there they went and they found that place wasn't working. There wasn't enough space to park. Then they moved to another small location, which is close by here, and then they were there. Then this building went up for sale right here.
And the address of this building?
This is the building that is up for lease right now. It's 115-17-105 Street. This building went up for sale. So Sheikh Hussein went and made an offer, and he bought the building for the purpose of building a mosque here. And this is where they established the first location for Masjid Quba. And they were here. So at the time when they were establishing this location, they had received a permit to operate a mosque with the idea that it is like an accessory prayer hall where a maximum occupancy was of 50 people.
Well,
and so at that point, there was only two or three people praying at the mosque. So 50 seemed like a huge number.
Sure, yeah.
And they started praying in 1989, I believe was the exact date, is when they started praying in here. And then it went on for many years. Through the 90s, they prayed here. And then even in the 2000s, they were still praying here. But the number had gone from two or three to, on Friday, they were 400 people praying in this small location.
400.
And then, as you can see, we have very limited parking space.
Yeah.
So then people started parking all over the place, and then it created a huge logistics issue. So at that point, the city and the neighboring businesses had lots of issues with the parking and the usage of the space, and we were obviously exceeding the number of 50 people. City used to turn a blind eye to this because they knew we weren't bothering anybody. It was a place of worship. But then the usage of people parking in the neighborhood causing all sorts of problems created an issue for the city. So the city started having some conversations with us. and it came to an understanding that they cannot, they were going to issue a stop order and that we could not continue praying in here. So we approached all sorts of legal avenues to see what we can do, but there was no real options. So we came to an understanding with the city saying, like, give us some time, we will move from here. And we used to, at that time, the city had issued actually a stop order, and they said if any time they caught anybody more than 50 people praying, they will close the door down. And in fact, they will fine us up to $10,000 or 1 year of prison for, like, if you were prosecuted for the executive kind of thing.
Okay.
So we had, you know, one of those little click counters, and we would stand at the door. And we would let 50 people in and then close, because there would be, like, on the across the street would be bylaw officers with their own counters counting how many people were going in. And it would be like minus 30 degree weathers out here.
Dear.
And so, and we still would get 400 people. So we put up little tents, and then we put these propane heaters on there, and we would have hot coffee for people, and people would line up, and we would have literally 4 to 5 Jummas.
Four to five Jummas of 50 people
each, and then
in minus 30
weather, and they would go in, and it would be a very short khutbah, and right after that, very small surahs for to make the salah, and then people would make the salah and out, and we would
so
tell
we're
them,
talking 5 to 10 minutes here.
5 to 10 minutes they would pray, because everybody had 1 hour of prayer, lunchtime and stuff who are coming, so we would say, you know, go home and pray sunnah, or go to your place, work and pray sunnah. But you got to get out. And we get them out, and the next 50 would go in, and then get them out. And we would do this
cycle
until all of them were covered. And we did that for a while, because we had no other
like a year?
Oh, yeah, for a long time since the stop order came. And then the search began to find us a place where we could move this mosque. So then we started exploring. We found one place. It just didn't work out. So then that led us to this current location of Masjid Quba,
right,
which is on 102 Street and 118th Avenue, which was close enough. And so we bought that building, and that was the building that was abandoned as a bingo hall. And then we did a conversion project,
right,
and you saw what the mosque looks like now.
What it looks like is it's one of the most beautiful interior masjid that I've seen in North America, and I'm sure you hear this all the time.
I know people have been very happy with the way it turned out, but if you had seen what it looked like when we took possession of the building,
mm-hmm,
it was people were scared to go in there.
Sure.
Literally, because you walk in, this was a building where it was all abandoned, all the plumbing had ruptured from being abandoned and everything. So literally only thing that is original in that building is the four walls.
Okay.
Even the roof is not original now, but everything has changed from every wire, every pipe, everything that went in that building. And then it was Sheikh Hussein's thing to pull people into the masjid, because he, you walk around anywhere and you mention his name, people know him, because he pulls people in, brings them. He's,
yes,
it genuinely has a concern for the well-being of the people who comes in the masjid, and it is that sense of community that allowed them to build this mosque, because it was from such humble beginnings of barely 50 people fitting in to a large space like that, and from a very working class community to build a mosque like that, of raising money within that working class community, it was.
So we're talking fives and tens and $20 at a
time, and of people putting effort in on a continuous daily basis, and Cuba is well known for this, which is like when it comes to volunteer work. We never have to say, oh, can you please sign up for a volunteer form? We just stand up and say, brothers, we need your help. And there is never a shortage.
Yeah. And
people
all
get up.
The way you did the fundraiser, the imam does the fundraising,
yeah,
you just got up,
yeah,
just pre-announced it,
yeah,
and that's it. He didn't say anything else. And I'm waiting for more. And he's like,
yeah,
no.
No, that's it.
So
it is a very, it's a close-knit family. It's like, it is a large space, as you see. Many people come in there. Now during Ramadan, we have to 500 people breaking fast every day,
Yes.
where the masjid with volunteers and the support from volunteers, we prepare the food, all 300 to 500 of us sit down and eat together to break fast.
Yes.
And as you saw in Seher,
Yes.
another over 100 people are having suhoor with us.
Including me, so 101.
Yeah. And it is not now. That tradition actually started when this first mosque was built. And that tradition, even though we have grown from like those 2-3 people to now in quite a number of people, that tradition still continues in this mosque.
So you began with the niyyah.
Yeah.
The niyyah has been fulfilled and maintained.
Yeah.
And the numbers have grown. The space has improved. Mm-hmm. The feeling one has when they enter, you no longer have the counter at the door.
No.
You no longer have people waiting in minus 30 and 40 degrees weather for 5-minute khutbas.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sukoon, a peace, a tranquility that
mm-hmm.
people may have as
yeah.
they enter the masjid. So it is the name Quba of the first masjid in the city that it's almost like you reset, you return to first principles. What is a masjid for? Who is it for? Why is it there? And in the Edmonton context, it's really, you've restarted what a masjid means in Edmonton. That's what I've observed.
No, you are very right on this, because that was the intention of Sheikh Hussain, to build this masjid for the people who live in this community and operate this masjid in along the principles of what a masjid should be and how it was originally done, and it should serve the people and take care of this. It is the place where people turn to at the time of need. It is the place that they come to when any hardship falls on them. It is not the place that they just come for prayers and leave. It is a real sense of community. You walk in that masjid every day, not just Ramadan time, every day. There's always somebody who puts a pot of tea on, or I will have some dates there. People come in there. They're not just coming in there to pray and just, okay, I'm done now, I gotta go home. They come in there because there's a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood, that they come to meet each other for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah.
And young people are
They
are doing this.
Majority of the musallis are young people. Well, you know, I was putting chairs up there when we were getting ready for Ramadan this year. And we were trying to figure out how many chairs do we need. You know, usually it's the elderly who needs the chairs to pray on. And we're thinking, okay, maybe we'll buy 25 chairs. I thought, well, you know what? That's a lot of chairs. We don't need 25. We may need only 5 or 10 chairs at most, because majority of the musallis are young. But that is the kind of people we want to attract them and bring them back into the masjid, because those are the people who are the future of where Islam is going.
Yeah, the young.
Young
younger,
generation.
The younger Muslims in central Edmonton.
Yeah.
Well, you come a long way, and as I've heard, that the Quba Masjid, the new one as it is recent, actually. It's only a number of years that it's been here?
It's that location. And when we first bought it, that was like 3 to 4 years ago. But the first year was really...
So 2012?
Yeah, okay. 2012-13 is when we got the place. And there was no power, there was no water, running water, nothing. So we took portable lights and stuff. And we have prayed since the day we took possession in that place. People would pray on cardboard. The masjid, as a masjid, it has worked since the day we took possession. Yes, there was hardship. There was no place to make wudu. There was no hot water. There was just cold water we had, because we didn't even have a hot water tank. But people still came and prayed at that masjid using the cold water. There was not even proper washroom facilities, but they would still come and pray at that masjid. All through construction, as a masjid, we have always operated. Because the minute we moved from this location to that location, we operated that place as a masjid. Yes, at times it was just cardboard boxes cut and rolled out, or sheets of paper that was put on the ground, and people prayed on there. And just now we installed the carpet. Just now all the
Beautiful.
lights are on.
Yes.
But before, whatever was, it didn't matter because people came to that masjid. I have some pictures I could show you. When one of the first Ramadan, where we had done half the Ramadan at this location, and then we moved for the last few days of Ramadan to that location. And when we moved, we have this huge space with so many people in there praying, and the space is nothing like what you see now.
Okay.
But the spirit of the people is the exact same spirit as it was when we started this location to when that came. So.
There was no, it's almost like a hijra.
Yeah.
The people remain the same, and this is your Medina.
Yeah.
in one way.
Yeah.
That you had the counters of the Quraysh, of the bylaw enforcement, and now you have the location and the peace of mind, and you're part of that neighborhood, that community.
And you know, that's a funny thing, because just a couple of days ago, I had someone say to me, you know, when I come to this masjid, it reminds me of Medina. With the paint and the design and
yes.
stuff, they said, you know, and I feel that it's almost like, you know, praying there. And now you mentioned that in the last few days, I've had a couple of people mention something like along these lines, because this is the first Ramadan where our first phase, which was the main floor, is completed pretty much, you know, and we are enjoying this Ramadan.
Yes.
Everybody is quite happy.
Yes.
Because they know the struggle they went through. They know the effort of some of the, like, I mean, I couldn't even count the number of volunteers who have done this. It is a 100% volunteer-based effort to build this mosque, from demolition to plumbing to electricals to flooring to anything and everything, you name it. Was 100% volunteer.
So if there is a takeaway for people who have their own struggles in their own communities establishing a masjid, establishing a musalla, if I'm hearing correctly, it's you had the niya at the beginning,
yes.
even with the two or three people.
Yes.
And the niya has not changed.
That has not changed.
Though the form and the building of location is easier than where we are parked right now.
Exactly.
But the niya, it's the same.
It is exactly the same. When Sheikh Hussain made an offer and purchased this building, the niya was the same, and it was the same when he leased a coat factory and established a musalla and brought it in and made a masjid here. And that niya was the same. And all through that struggle, that niya didn't waver on that. Because it was for the sake of Allah.
Yes.
And the idea is we are doing this for the sake of Allah. We are looking to be obedient and pray and follow Islam. And Allah will help us.
Yes.
All through this struggle. Just have faith. Allah will help us.
So he had the firm resolve after the shura, the consultations at the beginning with whoever.
Yeah.
And in that firm resolve, we have the result. Maybe just 2 points, but one before we conclude this podcast. The Sheikh Hussain, people outside of Edmonton may not know who he is. Is there just a little bit you can tell us about him and his what he's contributed to your city?
Sheikh, his full name is Hussain Abbas Horeshi, and Sheikh Hussain, people also know him by the name of Safdar. He has been active in the Dawah work in Edmonton and actually across Canada since the 70s. And he has, you know, one story that comes to mind is, I think in the 80s, 70s, there was not too many halal places to buy meat and stuff. He would make personal effort to go out to the farm, cut chickens, make them halal, bring them, pack them in cold Edmonton weather in his garage, pack them up, and sell to people, not for the sake of making a profit, but with the intention that he wanted people to eat halal. And then his only, I don't think he ever really made any money or any profit on doing
mm-hmm.
that venture, but his venture was always, at least they're eating halal.
Right.
And if it meant, if it was, not, he lost money on that, he didn't look at it like as if he lost money on it. He looked at it like, well, we have so many people who weren't eating halal are now eating halal. So his approach has always been for the sake of the people so that they would follow Islam and, you know, come into the fold of Islam. And then every action he did was to lead people to that. You know, that is, people may not know him, but they can understand and his spirit in doing this thing to help the community come together for the sake of Islam.
Yes. That's good that we can know a little bit about him, and inshallah people may meet him, and he has long life and he's healthy. When people visit Masjid Quba in Edmonton, a striking feature, something unique, is the inverted, I don't know how else to phrase this, the inverted mihrab. Instead of building towards the outside building, the prayer niche, it's inside.
Yes.
And it curves into the musalla, the prayer hall. How did that come about? And it's something like, I've never seen this before, anywhere.
You know, it was a collaboration with a number of people. The idea was we were looking to make the mihrab and the minbar. And we were trying to figure out, because as you know, the qibla is at an angle. And we were trying to maximize the space of the first saf. Because if you put the imam close to the corner, the first saf will have two or three people in it. So we thought, well, if you move the imam this way out, so we can make the first saf a little longer. And now, what do we do with that other space? We didn't want to waste it. So we thought maybe we'll build a library and our little office for the imam there. So now we were looking for design. So we did this, and we were at an angle. So we thought it would be nice if we could curve this. And since we are not going to put a dome on top, maybe we can put a dome as if it's coming from the outside of the building, but into the masjid.
Okay.
So you can see the dome is almost like it's three-quarter way in. You can imagine that the other quarter is on the outside of the building.
Okay.
So that was where the motivation for that design came about, was as if the mosque, the dome was on the outside of the building, but it's being pushed into the building, and then you have the mihrab and minbar in there.
And the dome, to just continue that, it's actually at ground level.
Yeah.
So it's something that most people will never actually have an access.
Yeah.
They will never actually be able to touch the dome of a masjid. Mm-hmm. And here, you've just introduced the idea that, just as an abstract concept, but it's remarkable. It just dominates the prayer hall, and you just keep staring at it and wondering why and how
The whole idea was we draw the people as they come into the prayer hall and towards that mihrab and minbar.
Yes.
And the idea is because we're at an angle, we wanted the eyes to feel like you're kind of going straight towards that. And as you walk in the building, that's what you feel. You forget that now you're at an angle praying because your eyes are drawn towards that mihrab and minbar, and that dome being a bit grand in that structure, it just kind of takes away that feeling of standing at an angle to pray. So this was like a number of things went into this to make it the way it is right now.
Well, for brothers and sisters and friends of 30 Masjids who are listening, inshallah they may find their way to Edmonton and Masjid Quba. I believe the website is masjidquba.ca. And the address of Masjid Quba is?
10210 118th
Avenue. 10210 118th
Avenue.
And that's in central Edmonton.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Syed
Hussain.
Syed Hussain, thank you very much for this little tour in central Edmonton after Fajr, after a very hard-working night as a volunteer at Masjid Quba and helping us be fed suhoor and iftar and everything else. I appreciate it very much that you've taken this extra effort and time for me personally and for the people who are listening on the website and the podcast. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.